Well, we're back. George Hallford, Local Matters. And this is a, I hope the audience can tell, I love this program because we talk about people and we talk about the who. We talk about people every day in our community, region, and beyond who form the tapestry of our community and who in their ways make a difference. And today we've got a really good show. Focused around addiction, focused around helping people. And I've got Jed Stevens, the director of Hope Center Ministries, that is focused on that. And we've got his associate, Josh Cobble. So I've told you, I like to talk a lot. And I got to stop and listen to you. So we're going to start, like Billy Graham does in all great religions, about ask you some questions like, who are you, where'd you come from, and where are you going? That's what we're going to do. And what gives you meaning in life? And believe it or not, we're going to start with age birth.
Okay.
And don't spend too much time in high school, but we're going to get you all the way up to the present day. So here we go. You're on.
Okay. My name's Jed Stevens. I'm 42 years old. I was born and raised in Livingston, Tennessee. Grew up here my whole entire life. Had a great family, great church family.
Yeah.
Born and raised just with awesome parents, great family. Got up into Livingston Academy and and just love it here. The country, farming land, you know, and being grew up here, you know everybody here. That's always a good thing. Relationships is always a huge thing.
Amen. So you're growing up, you're in high school, you're in elementary school, you've got friends, you've got what are some of your interests? What did you do growing up and who'd you do it with? And
yeah, so just, in school, I loved sports. I played football, basketball, baseball since I was little up to high school. And then when I got into high school, I played my freshman and sophomore year on the JV team. And then I got into music. I was loved music, playing the guitar, bass, drums, just very, very into music. So I started in the music industry, but it was in church.
Sure.
Playing at church, got on a traveling gospel band that we traveled on the weekends. And, music was a big thing in my life when I was young.
You know, music, as someone who's adopted here since 04, this is home now for some of the same reasons. Music is plays such a role in our region. We have world class arts, music, and crafts, and so it's not unusual to have people growing up three generations of the mandolin or guitar or whatever. So you now Mayor Hayes, did you ever bump heads with him on the football field? He's older than you are though.
Yeah.
But Curtis, Livingston has always had a really good sports program, football. Is that, when you were growing up, was that a part of it too?
Yeah, well, I didn't play football in high school. I played the Junior Outlaws and then the middle school.
But when you
played ball,
yeah.
Yeah.
Then you got into music.
Then got into music in high school years.
At a young age. And you're traveling and doing gospel. Man, that's great. Any other passions or friends or anything you want to talk about during that time?
Yeah. So mainly, I would say all my friends, they were into music too. We just every weekend, it was music. And
that's great.
Yeah. And then, again, going back on my story, it was always in church and playing at revivals and stuff like that. But what had happened was I had a friend that played music, but it wasn't church. He was playing in bars.
I understand.
And I was invited to come and play with him one night at a bar, and it was something different. you know, and I experienced something different, and it kind of caught my attention.
For sure.
And before I knew it, I was playing at the bars a lot.
Sure, sure.
And so what happened was I still had the love of music, but I found the different environment. And again, it was new, you know, and then I just slowly fell out of playing at church and stopped playing the gospel music and started playing in the bars and playing secular music, and which nothing's wrong with that. Mm-hmm. It's just, it took me down a path that I didn't know.
Yeah, you didn't know you were on.
I was just in for the love of playing music. And then, but once you're in an environment for so long, that environment grows on you. So I picked up drinking.
Oh, sure, sure.
And again, just something that I thought was innocent and it wouldn't take me anywhere. You know, a lot of people did it, you know, and a lot of people seemed like they enjoyed it. So I really didn't see my life going south. And
that's right.
So I did that for a few years. And the alcohol, actually, my tolerance started building up to it, and I had to drink more. And then we all know that direction. And then before I knew it, after a few years, I found myself being an alcoholic.
No question.
No questions. I'd have to wake up in the mornings, and the first thing I had to do is have a drink of beer, or I'd have a headache.
I understand. Yeah.
And then that's when I knew I was in a situation that I innocently just fell into. You know, it's not like I raised my hand one day and said, I want to be an alcoholic.
No.
But it was that fun, that new thing in life. Yeah.
You could take your name and put my name in there or anybody else. And you remember your parents or your friends growing up older would say, and the preacher, and I thought, what a fuddy-duddy. I'm sorry. I said, you know, you don't ever know who is an alcoholic and who isn't. I grew up with a bunch of guys, and much like you in high school, I don't even think I drank in high school, but the point is you get in with people, and next, you don't know, and some of these friends today are still alcoholics, some way or other, through the good Lord, I got through that tunnel.
Yeah.
And that's what you're here today, trying to help people
through
life experience go get through the tunnel.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you said something, music. We were talking music. You were there to play music. You weren't there. But the bars really were the only place that you could, unless you went to Nashville.
Right.
And got involved. But even there, you're playing the bars. And then that's the way country music people are found, discovered. So you were normal.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then it didn't stop there. So I've always been a very, very great decision maker growing up. Of course, when I was 21, I never had any legal problems, never got in trouble.
Sure.
I was the good kid.
Sure.
But the drinking, being intoxicated is when I made decisions that were bad decisions.
That's right.
And I made it because I was intoxicated.
That's right. That wasn't you.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So I found myself one night, I was in a bathroom at a bar, and some guys were in there, and they had pills. And and they introduced me to them and asked me, and me being intoxicated, I was, let's have fun.
Sure.
But now if I hadn't been intoxicated, I'd have said, no, I've never done drugs.
That's right. That's right.
But I made the poor, bad decision and did it while intoxicated. And again, it was something new.
Yeah.
It was something about my life is if there was something new, I wanted to try it because I did the same thing for 18 years, you know. So I did it, and then my life just completely spiraled out of control. I ended up heavenly. I got deep into the drugs so bad that it actually, I didn't even care about drinking anymore. I wasn't an alcoholic anymore, but now I was addicted to a new substance.
I understand.
And then that's when my life really, it got bad. I couldn't keep a job. I lost everything that I had. All the relationships that I had in my life, I lost them. my health got bad, and I fell in drug addiction for about 13 years.
Wow, sure. Praise God, though.
Yeah.
Here we are today.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is so good. You know, these stories are looking back, pretty normal. I know the studies I've done with family, I've had family members. I don't think it's a family member, maybe, that hasn't had someone in their family unless that doesn't have these kinds of issues.
Yeah.
And I went for about a year and a half to like an Alcoholics Anonymous support group and learn more about what you're talking about. It's like it's a spiral, and yeah. It's like you're reading a novel, and you say, "Dang, excuse me, I was about to say something bad." That's happening. That's what's happening to my loved one,
mm-hmm.
and it's predictable.
Yeah,
you know, the DUIs and the whatever, and so it's an insidious situation. Thank God you're sharing this story, because there's someone out there listening today who this is, it's a God thing.
Yeah.
And thank you for what you're doing. So I had to interject that, and I've talked too much already, but so you were right on that norm. Looking back, you went through a period that you didn't know anything about, and before you knew it, you were way down the road.
Yes, and tried getting out of it, couldn't get out of it. Just going through the detox and the withdrawals of trying to come off of the substance that I was so addicted to, and I just found myself hopeless.
I understand.
Found myself hopeless.
You had to hit rock bottom.
I'd hit rock bottom and lived at rock bottom, and I was literally to the point that I thought my life was over.
I understand. You know, this is not an unusual story. And now we're going to get to the even better part of how God intervened
yeah, absolutely.
In your life. So George Hofford with Jed and Josh, and we'll be back real soon. Well, George Hofford, we're back with Jed Stevens, the director of Hope Center Ministries, and his partner in crime or whatever. He's going to tell us about him in a minute, maybe. Josh Cobble. We shared off air. This is the story of society. This is what, and it's been getting progressively worse. And now we're really getting into it. You have finally begin to bottom out. And let's talk. We talked about that off air. This isn't something where you just go to you go to a revival and then you end up going to rehab, and 6 weeks later you're out. And you're 100% right. Talk about your struggles and how I think you said off air three or four times, how did you finally bottom out? Just finish tell the story of this.
Yeah, so I wanted help, and because I knew the other life and how I enjoyed that life, but being at rock bottom, I mean, it was just miserable. So I'd went in, I'd go to rehab, and it would be a short-term rehab, and I'd get out, but I would go right back to immediately. And I did that several times. I've been in three or four different rehabs, but it just seemed like to me I was just getting a little sobriety time, but when I left, it's like I went back to the only thing I knew.
Yeah. Let me say this, too. I'm not criticizing. Man, thank God for rehab.
Yes.
So this is
absolutely.
Not about that, but usually there's not enough time for you to be in that environment, and you're back in your old. So no, I'm not criticizing that at all. So
right. Yeah, absolutely. And two, a lot of it is it's what you put into it, it's what you put out of it.
That's exactly.
You know, and that's what you get out of it. And I don't know if I wasn't putting in the effort that I should have, but I was just, you know, after multiple times going to rehab and then falling back into addiction immediately, I really started losing hope, thinking there's no chance. Nothing's going to fix
me. That's right.
But then there was hope.
Amen.
There was hope, and I had this married couple from our church that would swing by and just check on me, and I call them my living guardian angels. They would they would come by, and they would bring me food, and they would help me with my electric bill, whatever I needed, and they always just loved on me, and they did for several months. And then they offered to get me help, and it was to send me to another program, and I had told them, I said, I'd been to three or four different programs. I don't think it's going to work. And they said, you got to try it. It's faith-based.
Amen. Oh, okay, yeah.
And I was like, well, I haven't been to, you know, a long-term faith-based program. And so in December the 3rd, 2018, they took me to Dixon Hope Center Ministries.
Dixon Hope Center Ministries, okay.
And I went in, and it was rough, you know, the first couple of weeks, fighting the detox and the withdrawals. And
oh, yeah.
It was rough, but this place was different. The men in the program was encouraging me. They had my back. There were several times I packed my stuff and was ready to leave because just the detox and the stuff, it's just hard physically. The physical part's rough. But it was the men in the program that talked me out of it. It wasn't the staff.
Sure. And it's people have been there.
Yeah.
Are there.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I found myself, well, this program's different. And I ended up completing the program, and where my life changed was the hope that they taught me, Hope Center Ministries.
Amen.
Is Jesus Christ.
Amen, bro. Say that again.
The hope that I found was Jesus Christ. And that's what Hope Center Ministries, amen, for 12 months, that's all they worked on me. It was,
yeah.
You got to find a reason to be sober and to stay sober. And you're a child of God. Mm-hmm. And that's enough reason.
That's right.
And when I went through the program, I realized it ain't really a drug and alcohol program. It's a discipleship program.
Spiritual journey.
Yes. And it was, I had 12 months of no distractions from, I mean, the world. I was in this program for 12 months, and I got to spend 12 months with Jesus.
But you said 12 months, that the average person, it's very difficult to devote that kind. That's a major issue, because I've had friends and others that tell me that just about the time I began to feel needing this help. And you found something that, and it doesn't have to be a formal program, but you found that next step.
Yeah.
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 Sure. Okay.
And I learned in this 12 months to not how to get sober, but they taught me how to stay sober.
Oh, man.
And that was having a purpose. That was having, you know, a relationship with your higher power, which is Jesus, you know, and keeping that relationship with him and digging in his word and being obedient to his word, that was my insurance on my sobriety.
Amen.
You know, it's like having that full coverage insurance. I'm covered, you know.
That sounds so simple, and it is simple, childlike faith, but yeah, that's one of the hardest things you've probably ever done in your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
For that, to have that determination and that faith to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, wow, I'm having a moment right now. The Holy Spirit is here, my friend.
Yeah.
Always here. So you took that, and then we're going to talk about this in a moment when we come back, but you really went through a period that's normal for those that can, but you had your faith. What did you do right after that? How did you get from 12 months? You have a group, you're on the way. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So whenever I graduated, they have an internship there where you can go through the year internship and work with Hope Center.
Ooh,
and while I was in the program, I just fell in love with wanting to help people.
Yep.
And just wanting to share my experience and my life with others just to give them hope, because my heart is for people that struggle in addiction. And I knew that was my purpose. And I had to have a reason that will push me to stay sober, and that was it. So I did my 12-month internship, training and being coached on how to help people in addiction. And then after 12 months, I was hired on as the recovery coordinator for Hope Center.
But you were on a two-year, what I'm here, journey.
Yes.
That you had some time to really make a decision and invest in that.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're, you know, we got about a minute left. Anything we're gonna when we come back, we're really gonna pull that crystal ball out. And,
yeah,
you know, God laughs when you do that because when you tell Him your plans, but
right,
you know, but we're gonna talk about the future, the program, what you're doing, what can we do to you? You've got a listener out there, or more than one,
yeah,
who needs what you're talking about.
And yeah, absolutely.
When we come back, I want us to really go into that about what can, how can these people, how can folks get help? But anything else? I got about 30 seconds. Anything else you want to talk about this path you have been on?
Yeah, so after getting hired on, they ended up sending me to Ohio to open up a Hope Center and help get it started. And I was there for almost 2 years. And then God laid it on my heart that Overton and Putnam County don't have a program like Hope Center Ministries. And I just thought, if there was a program like that when I was in addiction, I could have got help sooner.
Man, I hate to stop now, but we're going to stop right now. Be right back soon. George Alford, back soon. George Alford, back with Jed Stevens, the director of Hope Center Ministries. And a colleague, Josh Cobble, and I hope y'all can say, no, you've hit a nerve with me. This is something that God has laid on my heart as a citizen, as a community person. That I see it, we see it every day, and we're seeing more of it. So let's pick up where you left off. You went through the program, and then you did an internship, and then you went off for a couple of years, and what did you learn in your experience away from home when you were away from that safety net that you had? Now, you had a new safety net.
Yeah.
But let's talk about it. And then let's talk about the future, your ministry, what you're doing, what you're seeing out there, not only for us, but the country itself. So.
Yeah. So leaving my little safety nest, I guess you'd call it, going to a state that I was very unaware of, didn't know anybody, I kept the one thing and the priority, and that was my spiritual walk.
Amen. Amen.
And me
that didn't
just,
matter where you went.
Right, right. So my spiritual walk was my priority. So anywhere where I was going, I felt safe, and I knew that I wasn't alone.
Amen.
And then, you know, when God laid it on my heart to bring Hope Center Ministries to my hometown, we were able to do that June the 15th, which was the other day, made 3 years we opened that campus.
Wow.
And whenever we opened the Rickman Hope Center Ministries, it was cool because I got to open the ministry in my hometown where I fought addiction, and that was my battleground. And it's cool because one of my residents in the first year that we were open and that went through our program and graduated our program is Josh Cobble, the guy who I have here with us today.
Okay.
And not only did he go through the program and graduate, but he did an internship like I did.
He's been on your path.
Yeah, he's been on my path, and he finished his internship, and now he's hired on as the recovery pastor.
Yeah.
Well, Josh, we kept you off, but anything you want to add to that or share with your audience?
I actually grew up in Rickman, and you know, I've gotten in a lot of trouble in Rickman. You know, my whole life has been in Rickman, so I'm sitting in jail, and I get the opportunity to get a furlough from the jail to go to this center. And at the time, I was like, you know,
wow.
That's it's a get out of jail free card is how it was at the beginning. But so I had 24 years in prison over my head when I went. So I $250,000 in fines. So I knew that it was time to, you know, buckle down.
Wow.
And so I go through the program. I fall in love with what they're doing. And I did, you know, just like Jed said, I also did an internship process. And through that, I fell in love with everything. I fell in love with helping people with,
found your calling.
Found my calling. I found purpose in life. And so now I have the best job in the whole world. I get to spend every day going through this this life with guys that's been where I've been and lead them into a better direction.
Yeah. You know, we had a guest on earlier that I wish you could have Well, they'll be on. You'll be on and a couple of Mondays, and she'll be on. And it's so similar, your stories. Not, it was different. It wasn't. But what she's doing to help. And the experiences are very, very similar. Like I said, people don't grow up saying, I think I just want to become a real good, big alcoholic. No.
Right.
No, we grew up as little children, and we and life comes at you.
Yeah.
And we're here to say there's still life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Through Jesus and through our faith and through God. So let's look in the crystal ball. Where are you? Where is God leading you in the Holy Spirit to take this ministry here in this region, working with our other great caregivers? And what do you see on the horizon?
Yeah, so we're looking at opening other campuses because we stay full capacity all the time. We've actually had people on the waiting list.
How many? I'd be curious. How many?
We house 34 at one time.
Wow, that's a significant.
And we stay full capacity. We have people calling all the time. And so our big vision is to open multiple campuses in the Upper Cumberland area. And which is great because all the local churches are involved.
That's great.
Nonprofit that the churches will help sponsor, and they show up at our fundraisers, and it's just been awesome
so
to see God.
You're part of this movement. I mean, you're a part of the process.
Yes.
And
yes.
The churches are very involved.
Churches are very, very involved. And again, you know, if anybody's listening, you have a family member or a friend or a coworker that's struggling or anything, Hope Center Ministries, what I love about it is a 12-month program, in-house program. Normally, it's about $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
Hope Center Ministries, it's a one-time $700 admission fee, and we can help your loved one for 12 months.
Holy cow.
Yeah, and that's what I love about it is we're able to reach people that don't have a lot of money.
Sure. How many people can just fork over 30 grand to solve any kind of problem?
Right, or insurance. You know, most of your people that struggle in addiction don't have insurance. So we're a program that don't take insurance. It's just a $700 admission fee. We will love on them.
Wow.
We have seen in the 3 years we've been open, we have graduated 42 men.
Wow.
We have seen family restorations. We have seen men just step up and be great fathers, great husbands. The harvest is so worth the dedication and commitment of the hard work that we put in.
Man, that is great. I'm blown away personally to hear stories, and that's what this show's about, telling stories. Contact information. Somebody out there right now says, you know, I've got somebody, your website, your cell phone, how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have an admissions coordinator.
Okay.
And he would be the person that will explain the program and start the process of getting that person in. You can reach out to him, Derek Threet.
Derek what?
Threet. And his phone number is 423-920-0992.
Wait, say it one more time, even for me. I need to write it down.
Yes, 423-920-0992.
Okay. Let's continue. Let's look at the world. Not the world. Let's start. Let's go regionally, statewide, and of course the world. We're going through tremendous changes. I'm hearing and reading that the young people today, there is a revival going on that it's still not as big as we think it is. I mean, no, it's bigger than we think it is. You're seeing people reaching out and wanting and needing help. Is that?
Yeah.
And it's larger than we realize.
Yes.
And so where do you see all this, the faith-based approach? That's it, isn't it? I mean, it's not government's here to react and help you, but government can't do what this guy upstairs can do.
Right, right.
So and what do you see in that? And then cooperating with these agencies, because they mean well. I mean, it's not.
Right.
How do you make it all? How do you work within a system, and yet your system is different?
Well, so all programs are great. You know, you
exactly.
All programs are great. We're we're not competitors or anything like that. We're all trying to just reach people and give them help, you know. But each program has their own tools, you know, you can look at the success rates, and the success rates in the faith-based programs are a lot higher. And I think it's just because of the tools that they are using. It's just better to equip that person that's struggling. And it's, again, it's just showing them the love of Jesus and showing them that there's people that believe in them, that's going to be there and encourage them and just to walk this journey with them. And the cool thing about our ministry, too, is once they graduate and they leave, it's not like, well, they're gone and we never see them again. We keep them connected.
And they're involved.
They're involved. Most of, I would say 80% of our volunteer counselors are graduates.
Yeah, that's what I was just fixing to say. Most of them come on as a counselor. So that's one of the greatest tools we have is we have good godly men that are counseling one-on-one with these guys once a week. You know, they get an hour a week with them. They'll take them off campus or this and that. And obviously, we vet them to make sure that they're a good candidate for the position. But a lot of our graduates come back on as counselors, and it's what better way to pour back into a program, than to, you know, pour into somebody else.
Well, I always talked earlier that I want to talk to somebody who's been there, done that. I don't need a academic, and there's nothing wrong. Anyway, God can work in many, many ways, but I want somebody who's been there.
Yeah, well, now we do have a lot of good volunteer counselors that have never been in addiction.
Exactly. So I'm not. Yeah. It sounds like I'm being very narrow, but I'm not.
It's just different because
you match. Well, through the Holy Spirit, you match the needs with the people who volunteer.
100%.
Not everybody needs what John Doe needs, but Jim Doe might need something else.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's one of Hope Center Ministries' strongest tools is a lot of the ones that help and that are involved in our program, as far as mentors, Bible study teachers, and stuff. They're graduates, so they can relate to the residents. There's a bond there, and when there's a bond, there's trust, you know. And so I think that's one of the great tools that we use that's helping us be successful.
You know, I was just thinking back a long time ago, and your parents, all of our parents, they used to say growing up, be careful who you hang around with.
Right.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, mother, come on. No. We are creatures of habit. We're creatures of community. And surrounding yourself with people who share and people who you can help. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. We're getting close. I've had a revival here today, folks. Thank you so much. God bless what y'all are doing. Last few comments. Got a few seconds. Anything you got? Give me the number one more time. 423-920-0992.
Yes.
God bless you.
Yes, thank you.
Next time, folks. Next time. Bye.